Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. 800-531-3815, toll free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. Comes every week by email. We're now in our fifth year. We just finished our fourth year. This week is also our anniversary for the newsletter. And we just sent out 209th consecutive edition. And this week, the feature article is Branding and the Q Factor. And I think you'll enjoy it. So check it out when you get a chance and subscribe to our letter, and we'll send you that edition which has that article in it. Floyd Hurt is our guest. He's our good friend. He's the president of Rousing Creativity Group. He's the author of the book Rousing Creativity and another one I'm holding in my hand, which is one of my favorite, Live Like You Mean It. He's an outstanding international speaker and a trainer and just a great guy. Floyd Hurt, welcome back to the building.
Jim Blasingame, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
You know that when you started this show, you were 20, you were almost 18, weren't you?
And I was a lot taller, too.
Yeah, it takes its toll on you, doesn't it?
That's right. I was 6'5 when I started the show. Now I'm down under 6 feet.
Is that right? What's nothing wrong with that?
It beats you down.
Yeah, actually, it also probably lifts you up from time to time.
Well, it does. No, it does. It really does. I roll out of bed like I just can't wait to do this.
Come on, Jim.
Because I get to talk to people like Floyd Hurt.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
well,
that's good.
I would like to talk to me sometime.
It's all because of you, Floyd. you're the reason for being.
So, Jim, let's talk about some Latin for a second. What do you
think? Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna give you two Latin phrases. We're gonna talk about this because they apply to you.
As long as you're the one who knows the Latin, because I don't.
Well, it's easy. The first one is quo vadis.
Okay.
And the second one is quo animo.
Okay.
Don't you love those terms?
I love them.
So we're going to be talking about motivation.
Wasn't one of those a movie?
Probably Quo Vadis was. You know, Quo Vadis is where are you going, where are you headed?
Mm-hmm.
And Quo Animo is what motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's talk about motivation. Jim, you've been doing this for 6 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is your sixth anniversary.
That's right.
What do you think motivated you to start the Small Business Advocate? What happened?
Probably ego.
Yours?
To be honest with you. No, there were some market forces that caused me to do this. There were some changes in the market that I saw happening, and I said, I think I want to do something, go in another direction. But the other thing was that I thought that I had something to say, and that's the ego part. I said, you know what? I think I've got something to say that I'd like to be able to say to more than one small business owner at a time. And so that's the ego part. So that was probably part of it.
And so what do you see as motivating you now? You've been a success with it. It's worked. You've been doing it for 6 years. What keeps you going? These are tough questions. What is the motivation that keeps you going now?
So many entrepreneurs, so little time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, how do you define motivation? Tell me what you think about it. What is it in your mind?
Motivation to me is wanting something, wanting to accomplish something, wanting to achieve something, wanting to acquire something that you don't have, that you haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think of motivation. It's somebody who's motivated is energized, is excited about the next thing that can happen, and is willing to expend the energy and do the things necessary to acquire those things.
Do you think motivation can work in the absence of other people?
Well, yeah, I think so. Well, I guess it can, but I'm not sure that it's as good.
Do you think you'd be motivated to continue with a Small Business Advocate if you didn't have people who responded to you, people who came on, people?
Oh, no,
really
no, no, you're, no, you're right. No, that's no. There have been so many times, as my audience knows, anytime you're getting something out of the ground, you're starting from whole cloth, from a blank slate like we did, there are times when you know, if it weren't for the feedback, and if it weren't for, you know, the comments from the audience and from the emails and the subscribers and the people who buy your book and any the customer thing and the association of people like our Brain Trust members like you, Floyd. I mean, if it weren't for that, I mean, I probably wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, so motivation is not something that is your ego, right?
That's right.
It's an amalgam of you and the people with whom you work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you think, let's translate that to small business for a
now,
second.
Now, when did this change from me being the interviewer to you being the interviewer?
This has happened to you a few times.
See, folks, I told you better buckle your seatbelt. See, I never know where this is going.
So tell me how you think this applies to small business. Tell me about that.
Hold on to that thought. See, this is one thing I get to do, by the way, Floyd. This is the only way that I get to let Floyd know that I'm really allegedly in charge here. 22, we'll be right back with Floyd Hurd. Stay with us.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, we got some folks who want to join us from the Red Cross and talk to us about what they've been doing and some of the things that we can do to help them. And then Barbara Weltman is going to join us, and we're going to talk about 1,001 tax deductions for your small business. Then after that, we're going to have Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, as we continue our sixth anniversary week. Right now, we're back to our good friend Floyd Hurd. Don't unbuckle yet, folks. Floyd's still here. You got to stay buckled. I don't want you to be thrown clear. Floyd, now where were you? You were grilling me about something.
Well, we were talking about the fact that, you know, a motivation is something you said it works for your ego, and then we decided that, you know, you needed people within that framework so you could get the feedback and continue to reinforce the motivation. Now my question is, how do you think that applies? You know, you're the big small business expert, Mr. Business, Small Business Advocate.
Mr. Small Business Advocate.
How does that apply to small businesses? What do you think that particular framework we just set up means to small business?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because this is something that I've written about this, actually, and talked about it quite a bit, and that is that we think we buy into the maxim that it's lonely at the top. And folks, you know, a maxim is a generally accepted truth. It doesn't mean that it is true. It's just generally accepted as a truth. And when we hear the maxim is lonely at the top, we say, when we get to the top and we get lonely, we say, well, this is how it's supposed to be. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Horse feathers, hogwash, pick another one. I don't care. It doesn't have to be lonely at the top. And you need to have people around you who can be at once, Floyd, a critic and a safe harbor.
But you also need to listen to the critic.
That's right. Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't help if you don't listen.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think that when you see a person at the top who is isolated, his motivation begins to wane, because what happens is he has generated a group of yes men.
Mm-hmm.
And yes men will do nothing but drain your motivation. What you want is the challenges. You know, the term that I use, Jim, for any business situation is, my job as a businessman and the owner of the business or the president of the business or the head of the division or whatever it is, I have one charge: to make the conditions for the possibility of people using their creativity and their thinking. That means my charge is to go to people and say, this is what I think. What do you think? Being able to listen with what I call the third ear, and understanding that although you may not accept what they say, you acknowledge the fact that they've said it, you interpret and interpolate and try to find a way to make that work. Two things happen at that point. Number one, you become more motivated, because of the dynamics of the situation. The person with whom you're speaking becomes more motivated because, number one, they're being listened to. Number two, they're being able to give out ideas that may not be fully baked and have those ideas accepted, explored, and either rejected or dealt with so they begin to work. The term conditions for the possibility of that is the difference between a business that is successful and a business that is not. Now, I think a business that is successful is a business that answers the needs of the people, both inside and outside, not necessarily the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a society nowadays that is, you know, and in fact, I have a friend who says he gets daily sales reports. Now, you can't adjust something daily on a large company. We need a system where everything is not immediate gratification. We need something that says, this is a place worthy of working for. This is a place where I enjoy being myself and my self-actualization. That's the kind of motivation that small businesses need to impart in their people. Doesn't mean you're not going to have people in there who are jerks, who are incapable of giving and receiving ideas and criticism. But it means that you, as the manager, have to sit with your people and say, what do you think about this?
And I want to...
with the third ear.
That's the thing I want to come back to, this third ear thing, because I agree with you, and I like the way you use that example, because... And the thing I want to point out, though, is that we listen so easily, so instinctively, so automatically through our two ears on either side of our head. But that third ear takes a little more attention, doesn't it? We have to commit to that third ear a little bit more to be successful listening with the third ear, don't we?
Oh, well, the third ear is probably for you to go forward the most important ear, because if you're listening with the two ears you've got, then you are more prone to do the thing that you have always done that is the safe harbor.
That's where the filters are, aren't they?
Absolutely. I'm so amazed when I hear people who are, and this is not a political statement, but people who are conservative, who are truly conservative. I look at them and say, you know, if we followed your point of view, we'd still be walking. We would never have gotten an automobile. We would never fly, because a true conservative says, don't change anything. Well, in point of fact, everything always does change. And it's a responsibility of someone in a position of authority to listen and not to expect to hear only what they want to hear. There's a really, really interesting article in the current issue. This is, again, I'm getting a little political here. In the current issue of the New York Review of Books, about the fact that our president, George Bush, did not listen to a single person except Trent, who told him exactly what he wanted to hear.
Well, now this, and now of course, in full disclosure, that publication you're talking about is the opposite of conservative.
Well,
right.
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, there are a lot of very good people in there who have.
But the piece you're talking about is clearly a very left-leaning piece.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, all you got to do is look at the facts on that. And what this guy does is he delineates all the stuff that was said prior, and he says none of it has proven true. Doesn't mean it's not going to be proven true. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the fact that when a person in authority. What his first job is to listen to the various points of view and not only listen to the yes men.
Stand by. Hold that thought, Floyd. We've got to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Floyd Hurt. His website is rousingcreativity.com. 10 till.
Celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back at 7 till. Floyd Hurt is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Rousing Creativity, Think New Now, and his new book is called Live Like You Mean It, The Exhilaration of Being in Control. And boy, howdy, does that subtitle say it all about Floyd? Wow.
That's untrue, Jim. I'm not in control.
Rousing Creativity. If you're not, you want to know the reason why. RousingCreativity.com is the website, and I encourage you to go there. Is that where they can buy the book there, right, Floyd?
No, actually, Jim, I have no website anymore. I got rid of all my websites.
No.
Yep.
We can't go to Rousing... You mean
can't
I can't...
go to Rousing... I got rid of... I have no websites at this point.
What am I going to do with you?
Well, I don't know. You know, so what, I'm trying to remain very mysterious and elusive.
How can I sell your book if I don't know where to send them to?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon, go get them there. You know. We were talking about motivation. We were talking about the conditions for the possibility and the fact that people in higher authorities have to listen to different points of view. That's
right.
It's critical.
But at some point in time, somebody has to make a decision, Floyd.
Absolutely, and it may go counter to what you've heard, but you must be willing and open to listen to the person who says, you know, I think in our business we've been doing this wrong in these areas. I realize you've been doing it since your grandfather started the company, but times, they are changing, and people have got to be willing to sit down and listen with the third ear. Remember, motivation and passion go together. I think you'll agree with that.
Yep.
motivation consists of a couple of things that I think are so important. And this is what a small business or any businessman's got to do. First, he's got to establish worthy goals. He's got to say, this is a goal with which you can identify, with which I can identify, that we clearly understand, not abstruse and abstract goals, clearly understandable. There's got to be a commitment to that goal. As a businessman, I've got to hire people who understand my goal and where I want to go. Doesn't mean it's sacrosanct and not open to some interpretation and a little bit malleable, but it means that I want to go here, and I want you to hop on with me. The third and one of the most important things that business people don't necessarily do is to show how an action you take, you can take, will help all of us achieve our goal. You know, what you do, Mr. Production Person, Mr. Salesperson, Miss Accounting Person, whatever it is, this is how your activity relates to the achievement of our goal. If I can show you that, if I can show you how what you do is important to my goal, guess what? You'll do it better.
Well, and here's the rest of the story, and I want to get to the point where we actually talk about how to do this. And one of the things that I've tried to do, and I've tried to get better at it, and I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I'm working on it, is to ask a forward question, and that is, what do you think? And I found that I'm trying to find is that whenever I have people who work with me and who support me, whether they're employees or contractors, if they're doing something that I've asked them to do, and we're working on a project together, I try to say, if you'll just learn those four words and say it, you know, with some kind of sincerity, what do you think? And then listen with Floyd's third ear, as he was saying to us, listen with your third ear, which I really had never thought about it like that. I talk a lot about self-analysis, and I talk a lot about paying attention to what other people are saying, but I never had thought about the third ear idea, and I like that a lot. If you'll listen, whenever you say, what do you think, and then listen with that third ear, which means that you've got to mean to listen, you've got to intend to listen, you have to really concentrate on listening, don't you?
Yep, and you can't get in your rehearsal phase where you're ready to say something.
Yeah.
And the next thing is you got to say to somebody, tell me something, if it's an idea they have. How do you think this particular idea you have will help us achieve our goal? If they can articulate, they may not be able to articulate that, but you can help work through it with them. Will this take us further along our path? Mm-hmm. You know, anything, if you look at where you want to go, your goal is straight ahead. Anything within 180 degrees of that is probably going to move you forward a little bit. It's like when you sail, you don't have to be sailing with the wind.
Right.
You can sail pretty, against the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I want to know is, tell me something. How is this particular idea or this activity or this new thought going to help us achieve our goal? And if the person says, I don't know, then it's up to you as a manager to start questioning what prompted the idea, mm-hmm. where did it come from, who do you think it would affect, how would it affect them. Those are the kind of dialogues that are necessary. Monologues are dictatorial. Dialogues are inclusive, and they make the conditions for the possibility of motivation and more creativity and taking you from point A to point B.
That's going to have to be the last word for it, and a good one it is. Thank you, ladies
and
gentlemen, the man with no website. Thank you, Floyd, for helping us celebrate our anniversary. Thank you so much.
Thanks for smiling.
And for all the years, we appreciate your time.
It's been fun.
Floyd Hurt, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.